thank all of you for being here again on another gorgeous day of life, another gorgeous Lord's Day that we could come together and worship our Christ and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Bill, you did an excellent job. I love those songs, especially that new one. I think it's the first. Is that the first time we've sung that one?
Which one?
Yeah, Lord.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, that's good. I loved it, and it just hit the spot. I'm telling you, we all need to listen to the words of that song, because we are going to come home somewhere. And let's hope it's heaven to everybody. And I know that's why you're here. If you weren't interested in going to heaven, you wouldn't be here. So I remember just a few years ago, probably two, maybe three, when Jane and I came home, a packet from the Beachland Baptist Church was hanging on our door. Now, Beachland Baptist is a very large Baptist church at 4013 Greenwood Road, just a couple of miles from our house. And this is just one of the things found in the packet, and I quote, "Beachland is a church that's on the move, and we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing at Beachland. We offer three Sunday morning worship services, a traditional service at 8 o'clock, and two contemporary services at 9:30 and 11, along with Bible study classes for all age groups at 9:30 and 11. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at Beachland, and we'd also like to invite you to take part in some of the activities we'll be offering this summer. Here are just a few of those activities. June 11th and 12th, we'll have a yard sale from 8 to 2. June the 13th through 17th, Vacation Bible School. There'll be classes for preschoolers, children, and youth. July the 25th, we'll celebrate Beachland's 150th anniversary. And August the 22nd, Beachland will have its state fair at 12 o'clock. Beachland State Fair at 12. This list represents just the smallest samplings of the summer activities. There's no way to mention all of the children and youth activities and trips being planned for the summer. In addition to our worship services and fellowship, we also offer a wide variety of programs for the community. Our Family Life Center provides recreational leagues, karate, exercise programs, and music classes. We offer a counseling center that's available to the entire community. For those whose primary language is Spanish, Beachland offers a Bible study and an indoor soccer league. As you can see, there's a lot going on at Beachland. If you'd like to know more about Beachland, check out our website at SultanCertain and give me a call. We look forward to seeing you soon. Signed, Ken Hollis, Pastor." Also in this packet was four additional pamphlets describing in detail all of the fun stuff at Beachland. By the way, some of the things offered, such as karate and upward basketball, aerobics, yoga, and Academy of Music, can get pretty expensive. However, the walking track and exercise and weight room are free, but donations are accepted at the welcome desk. My point in all of this is, how does this compare to God's building? For the starting point in our lesson this evening, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and let's read verses 9 through 16. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and 9 through 16 is a passage in which we're going to read about a building that God possesses. And it's not the Beachland Baptist Church. So when we all get to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the passage reads as follows in verse 9. "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, brethren, this leaves Beachland Baptist out, doesn't it? Verse 12. Now if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will be evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? How many times have you heard people say, it's my body and I'll do what I want to with it? That's not what Paul says. He said, do you know that you're a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? In the passage that we just looked at, did you notice a number of different things said about this building of God's? It was said to have a foundation, a very special foundation, and that it has builders who built upon that foundation. This is a most unusual building, for in it dwells the very Spirit of God. In view of these facts, and they are facts, brethren, this is a building about which we all should desire to know a great deal more about. God's building, in the first passage we looked at in verse 16, is called a temple. We know that this is not the only building we have been referred to as a temple of God. During the time of Moses, when the Israelites were given the law as they journeyed to the promised land, God instructed them to build a tent, which was called a tabernacle. In this tent, this tabernacle, worship was to be conducted. Look with me in the Old Testament at Exodus chapter 35, if you would. Exodus chapter 35. In Exodus chapter 35, we find these words beginning in verse 10. And let every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its hooks and its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets. Now we could go on, but the point I want to make is simply that this was God's tent, His tabernacle. Even the very things that were used in construction were spoken of as being God's, as belonging to Him. Now turn over to Exodus chapter 40. And let's read this awesome passage in verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of God, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That's awesome. When the tent was completed and raised up, a cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord filled it. After many years, King David desired to build a permanent house, a building for the Lord, something that would replace the tabernacle. David was not permitted to do so, even though the plans for the temple were given to David by God. Later, David's son Solomon did indeed build such a permanent house for the Lord. This was called the temple. It was now here, rather than at the tent structure, that God met with His people when they worshiped. Now, if you would, turn quickly over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'll give you time to get there. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. We don't go to Chronicles too often. I'll give you plenty of time to get there. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, and in verse 16, the Bible says, for now I have chosen and consecrated this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. This was the temple of God in Jerusalem, and it was a magnificent place indeed. This particular building was destroyed by the enemies of the people, but it was later rebuilt. although not to the same degree of magnificence as had been the beauty of Solomon's temple. But the temple was very near and dear to the hearts of the people. I wish you'd come back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, where we started this morning, this evening. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Now, as we go back to that passage which we began with, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, a very interesting statement was made by Paul to the Corinthian brethren and by application to all of us, to all Christians of all time. Paul wrote, beginning in verse 9, "You are God's field, God's building." God's building spoken of by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 was not the same stone and wood building that had comprised the various temples of the Old Testament, but it is referred to as a temple of God in verse 16. Now the building, which is called a temple of God, is the church of the New Testament. It is a church of which all Christians are a part of. That church is God's building today. That it is His temple. It is further seen in Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, in verse 19 through 22. Let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 19. "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." Would you notice, look at verse 20. Look at verse 20 again. It says, "Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone." Well, brethren and friends, the Baptist Church, of which Beachland Baptist is a part of, was established or built by John Smith in Holland in 1607. Not by the apostles, not by the prophets, and certainly not by Jesus Christ. It was built by a man named John Smith in Holland, 1,600 years after Jesus died. Now come with me to Acts the 17th chapter. Paul made a statement to some of the philosophers and great thinkers of Athens that is recorded for us in Acts 17 and verse 24. Here's what he said. "The God who made the world and all things in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands or made by men. When all this is taken together, it becomes apparent that God dwells in a very special way today in His temple, not made with hands. He dwells in the holy temple of the church of Christ, and that makes this church something very, very special indeed." Consider with me, if you will, the foundation of this building, the temple of God, the church. The foundation of the building consists of Jesus Christ and His apostles and prophets, with Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone. Look with me, we go back to the Old Testament, Isaiah, the 28th chapter. Isaiah chapter 28. Now, brethren and friends, this is prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah 28 and verse 16. When the great messianic prophet wrote these words, he said, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed." Jesus declared that upon the great truth that He was the Son of God, He would build His church. Surely most of us remember the glorious words in Matthew 16, verse 16 through 18. And sometimes we need to reread that and think about it. So it'd be good for us right now to read together once again Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse 16 through 18. And I'll wait for you to get there. Matthew chapter 16. Now listen to these words. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father in heaven. And I say unto thee, I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, listen, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus said He's going to build His church and nothing will ever prevail against it. Do you remember the third verse of the passage which we began this evening in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11? Well, let's quickly go back there. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. Again, Paul said, For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Remember also when we were in Ephesians chapter 2 and what was said in verse 19 and 20? I think we need to read that again. Ephesians 2, verses 19 and 20. Let's remind ourselves what was written here. Paul said, So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. But what about the materials that make up this building? Well, the materials, brethren, out of which the New Testament temple of God is built, are Christians, you and me. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter wrote in verse 5, You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for the holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In our initial passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12 finds Christians being described as gold. You remember this? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, all built together in this wonderful building. Understand now, please understand this. Not all who become part of this glorious temple of God are going to be or remain strong and solid materials in it, and ultimately will be removed in God's own way. However, there is one thing that does not make up this building. A set of materials not used in its construction, and that is unbelievers. They are elsewhere. They are not in God's holy temple. They may be, and I'm sure that there are weak Christians, maybe the best described as a crumbling stone, but there are no unbelievers in God's building. In Ephesians 4 and verse 16, you might as well go and turn over there. Ephesians chapter 4. You may remember in Ephesians 4 and verse 16, where the church is described as a body rather than a building, we find that the mortar that cements the whole thing together, or the ingredient that ties it together, is what? Love. That's what it is. It's love. Look with me at what Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:16. For whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The building up of itself in love. Brethren, when we got problems, this is where we need to be, right here with this family. And we'll build it up. We'll build up, build you up. The building up of itself in love. That's what we do. Now consider the pattern for the building. The work of the building must be done according to the pattern. That has always been God's building. It's always been true of God's building. Back in the book of Exodus, as God gave Moses instructions for the building of the tabernacle, look what he told him in Exodus 25 and verse 40. Exodus 25 and verse 40. And see that you, see that you make them after the pattern for them, which was shown, shown to you on the mountain. The pattern, brethren, the pattern. God has always had a pattern for his people. When Solomon went about the task of building the first permanent temple to God, he was required to do it according to the pattern. Look at 1 Chronicles, if you would, with me. Verse 20, chapter 28. 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. And verse 10. The Bible says, beginning in verse 10, consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be courageous and act. Then David gave to his son Solomon the plan of the porch of the temple. Listen now. Its buildings, its storehouses, its upper room, its inner rooms, and the room for the mercy seat. And the plan for all that he had in mind, for the courts of the house of the Lord, and for all the surrounding rooms, for the storehouses of the house of God, and for the storehouses of the dedicated things. Now look at verse 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the details of this pattern. God gave them in detail how that building was to be built, same as he did his church, the one we are members of. So brethren and friends, the same holds true for the Lord's building today, the temple of God today, the church. It too must be built exactly according to the pattern which is shown in the New Testament. Turn to Hebrews the 8th chapter, please. Hebrews chapter 8. This is the very point that the Hebrew writer was making in Hebrews 8 verses 5 through 6 when he wrote these words. Who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. Building today, according to the pattern, involves the teaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that it contains concerning the work and the worship and even the organization of the Lord's temple, the church. When people hear, believe, and obey his teaching as far as what to do to be saved and to be added to this glorious building, they are added and become stones in its construction upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstones and the apostles. Further teaching develops these living stones and adds others to the building. This is the whole process. Demonstrated in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 through 16, where we started this evening. Now, I remember a very good friend of mine, as a preacher, told me he had a meeting with a woman who was not a Christian and her marriage was failing. It's falling apart, he said. He spoke to her about God's pattern for the marriage relationship, and she said, "That don't work. It don't work." His response was that if the architect designed a building and it collapsed after being constructed, only to have discovered that the plans of the architect had not been followed in its construction by the builders, then the fault did not lie with the architect. It was upon the shoulders of the builders. Do you get the point here? He urged her to study with him, along with her husband, that they might come to understand the blueprint for marriage designed by its very architect, which of course is God. When God's plan for the construction of his temple, his church, are deviated from today, just as the Beecham Baptist Church is doing, whatever is built will not be delivered to God the Father when Jesus returns. Why? Because it will not be the church of the Lord, God's holy building, his holy temple. Finally, a warning is given in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go back and look at that. Paul wrote in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 3, "If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are." God's building, the church of Christ, is defiled today much like the earth was defiled in the days of Noah. When the earth was defiled by sin, what happened? God destroyed the civilization that then was. Sin was what defiled it, and sin is what will defile the church of God today. There are a host of ways that sin can enter into, such as false teaching, sinful living being tolerated, or sinful living together and not married, innovation in worship, ungodly, unchristlike attitudes manifested towards one another. All of these things and more can bring about the consequences of verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we just read. Staying in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, let's go back. It's no wonder that Paul wrote in verse 10, "But let each man be careful how he builds upon it." Let each man be careful how he builds upon it. But just think about it. Being part of the temple of God, the building of God, the church of Christ, is a living stone. And being able to add more stones by teaching others the gospel of Christ. That's what we do. When we learn it, we tell everybody about it. We want everybody to go to heaven. What a privilege and what a blessing it truly is. What a privilege and blessing that truly is, brethren, that we can do that. So I ask you, if there's anyone here this evening, maybe you're distressed and downcast because of your sin and your inability to do anything about it. Well, Jesus has something to offer. He is the good shepherd who can provide the care that you need. Peter said to the Christians, "For you were continually straying like sheep." But he says, "But now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." That's from 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. And Hebrews 3 and verse 20 said, the writer, Hebrew writer says, "He is the great shepherd of the sheep." So I ask you, as a good shepherd goes before you, will you follow him? Do you know his voice well enough to that you will refuse to follow a stranger? He laid down his life for you. Will you give your life to him? If so, if you give your life to him, if so, please come forward. Confess of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God before men, because he most surely is. And then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And if you do that on that day of judgment, you'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," if you live faithfully after that. And if you become an unfaithful Christian, you can take care of that this afternoon. You can do that by coming forward when we sing the invitation song. and we will pray with you, and we'll pray for you. Brother Bill, lead us in our invitation song, if you will, please.